Brooklyn's Radio Surrey News Review for Friday the 11th of September. I'm Graham Laycock, taking a look at this week's local news in Surrey and Rushmore from the Surrey Advertiser and Surrey Live. First, a look at this week's headlines. 47 more coronavirus cases in Surrey. Parents should be given the choice whether to self-isolate their school children, and a petition against Surrey County Council becoming a unitary authority. There have been a further 47 cases of coronavirus recorded in Surrey in the past 24 hours, according to government figures released on September the 10th. This means the total cases in Surrey now sits at 5,413. A new coronavirus death has been reported by a trust operating in and around Surrey, with the total remaining at 1,200 since the start of the pandemic. Now, a breakdown of cases by Surrey District: Elmbridge 541, an increase of 2, Epsom and Ewell 378, an increase of 4, Guildford 637, up by 5, Mole Valley 370, an increase of 5, Reigate and Banstead 858, up by 4, Runnymede 379, an increase of 3, Spelthorne 426, up by 14, Surrey Heath 483, an increase of 1, Tandridge 363, an increase of 2, Waverley 543, an increase of 2, and Woking 435, an increase of 5. A breakdown of deaths recorded per trust operating in Surrey is as follows: Frimley Health Trust 365, Epsom and St Helier 277, Surrey and Sussex 260, Ashford and St Peter's 190, an increase of 1, Royal Surrey in Guildford 98, Woking Community Hospital 1, Nuffield Health Woking 1, Mount Alverna Guildford 2, Walton Community Hospital 4, and St Magnus Haslemere 2. A pub in Woking has temporarily closed after a member of staff tested positive for coronavirus. The Anchor posted a statement on its website saying a back-of-house team member went straight into isolation after experiencing symptoms. The Purford Lock pub has stressed that it's an isolated case and the individual didn't come into contact with guest-facing team members or the public. However, in order to minimise any risk, the pub decided to close to allow for a deep clean and for staff members to be tested. While government guidelines didn't require this, the Anchor decided to close in this instance of one isolated COVID-19 case. They said they believed it was the right thing to do to show their commitment to the well-being of everyone who worked and enjoyed the pub. A mum from a Surrey school has said that parents should be given the choice over whether to isolate their children after a classmate tested positive for coronavirus. Melissa Warren has her son back at home just days after sending him back to school after a pupil in his Year 3 bubble at Laleham Primary School returned a positive test for the virus. She said that the case at the Laleham school was confirmed on Monday and that 29 pupils and some teachers are now having to self-isolate for 2 weeks. However, she's criticised Public Health England for its handling of the individual cases in schools, saying school children may be harmed from being taken out of education. The mother of three said that parents should be given the choice whether to risk sending their child into school despite a positive classmate test or keeping them at home to isolate. She said that she feels testing may not be entirely accurate, particularly among children, and that keeping whole classes at home may be redundant if none end up developing symptoms. The mum, who lives with her three kids and husband in Staines, that she says she has one child-free day in the past 6 months while still trying to balance her own working life. She too is self-isolating along with her 7-year-old son, as she had come into contact with the positive classmate last Tuesday, although not being contacted by NHS Test and Trace about it. Current guidance from Public Health England is that in the event of the case, schools and local public health bodies will decide on the best course of action, including engaging with Track and Trace. Those who have been in close contact with the confirmed case are being asked to self-isolate for 2 weeks. Mrs. Warren said she fears for the social interactions and mental well-being of her child if he's kept at home away from his friends and teachers. Staff at the school have been enforcing social distancing of pupils in the school and families at collection and drop-off times, both of which are staggered. A Guildford shop with 135 years of history has been saved from the brink of permanent closure after loyal customers donated money to keep it afloat. As shops across Surrey closed permanently due to the impact of coronavirus on trade, one small stationer's in Ward Street is still standing thanks to the cash lifeline. Biddle's, traded throughout the Great Depression of the 1930s and two World Wars, but lockdown hit the owner's cash flow hard and they went into administration. Managers David Goddard and Neil Haven set up a crowdfunder and were humbled when money was donated by 200 customers and they were able to take over and reopen a week after closing. Over £8,400 was donated, giving them enough upfront cash to make an offer to buy the business. Mr. Goddard said, "We were told by letter on Friday we were being made redundant, and on Monday you'll have a box. We have to box up the stock. We just thought after 30 years working here and 50 years for Neil, is this how it ends? We don't even say goodbye to our customers." A week later, the lorry for collecting the stock was half an hour away when the previous owners agreed to the price we offered. We went from not knowing what our future held to picking up the business and working out how we were going to run it as owners. The shop's four other workers are expected to be rehired in the next 2 weeks. The council has the ability to hand out support grants for businesses during the pandemic, but Biddle's is not eligible for a £2,000 to £5,000 lump sum like many other firms are because it's technically a new business having reopened. That's despite the original shop in Martyr Road having opened in 1885. A business rate exemption has, though, helped them get through the setup. Amanda Masters, who's chief executive of the Business Improvement District Experience Guildford, said, "It's one of those stories that just makes you go, oh, it's a really brave, bold decision for them not just to roll over. They've come out of a horrible situation, and the fact they succeeded just shows how loved they are. It's going to be tough, not just in Guildford, but across the nation. But Biddle shows the level of loyalty there is for independent businesses in this town." But while Biddle's may have survived, many shops across Surrey have succumbed to the pandemic. The vacancy rate for retail and leisure units in Guildford Town Centre was 12.4% in July, double what it was 2 years ago, and up from 7.6% in January this year. A teenage pupil at Ash Manor School was hit by a car on Thursday and taken to hospital. The unnamed student, who's only referred to as in his teens, was struck by a Citroen C4 outside Ash Manor School in Manor Road, Ash Green. The incident briefly closed Manor Road for a time at 3 p.m. and caused heavy traffic. The boy was treated in hospital for a leg injury, which police say is not life-changing. An ambulance, police car and paramedic car attended. Surrey County Council's proposal to create one unitary authority for the whole county is in response to the rising popularity of councillors who are not affiliated to a political party, a campaign group has claimed. Residents Against Surrey Single Unitary has been formed to fight Surrey County Council's proposal to merge the 11 district and borough councils with the county authority to create one enormous body delivering all services. The group, made up of residents and serving councillors, has launched a petition which has so far gained over 2,000 signatures. The campaigner Christopher Barris, who serves as a resident for Guildford and Villages Borough Councillor for Clandon and Horsley, said, "There's a desperation to hold on to power. We stood 17 candidates in last year's Guildford Borough election and we had 15 returned. That demonstrates how people felt the system was failing to listen to them." Tim Oliver, leader of Surrey County Council, claims the change is designed to save money, saying not having multiple chief executives and senior figures could save £30 million a year for Surrey taxpayers. But Councillor Barris dismissed that, saying they talk about saving £30 million a year, but that equates to about £28 per person. Is it really worth it for such a massive change? One in three of Surrey's district and borough councillors is independent or part of a residence group, compared with about one in ten county councillors. Is this move away from political parties at a district and borough level that the campaigners believe is at the heart of the Conservative-controlled Surrey County Council's proposal? Councillor Oliver said it was a manifesto commitment of Boris Johnson's Conservative Party, adding this is government policy, not something Surrey County councillors come up with. I thought residents' associations would be enthusiastic about this proposal, where there's a clear understanding of the need for putting in place better local engagement. That might be more parish or town councils, or another option is local partnership boards, but some way in which people could connect with something that's very local to them. The Surrey County Council business plan is expected to be put to a vote at the council meeting on October the 13th, but RASU wants to force a debate at a September the 29th meeting. The petition can be seen at www.petitions.surreycc.gov.uk/unitary. Surrey's 11 district and borough councils also opposed the idea of having one big council for the whole county and are drawing up their own proposal in collaboration with each other. One idea would be to have three unitary authorities, each delivering all council services to a specific part of Surrey. Among the suggestions is to have Surrey Heath, Runnymede, Spelthorne and Elmbridge as one council area in the north of the county, then Woking, Guildford and Waverley in another, and the remaining areas of Mole Valley, Epsom, Yule, Reigate, Banstead and Tandridge making up the final council area. A nurse who was unable to locate a defibrillator during a patient's cardiac arrest has been struck off the register after failing to comply with numerous orders over more than 2 years. Bernadette Gaga failed to respond appropriately during the incident in January 2016 and failed to deal appropriately with one more patient, according to a recent report. She did not administer an injection when instructed to do so and did not check a patient's temperature. She also administered medication to a patient more than 4 hours earlier than where she was supposed to. Mrs. Gaga, formerly employed at Dorking Community Hospital, initially received a conditions of practice order for a period of 12 months in April 2018. She subsequently received another condition of practice order on April the 18th, 2019 for 2 months, followed by a suspension order which was extended 3 times. Mrs. Gaga worked at the hospital in Horsham Road for 2 years before starting to work at Westcott House Nursing Home in Dorking, where she was employed as a care assistant. The charges brought against her, however, relate to her employment at the hospital between January 2015 and December 2016, according to a Nursing and Midwifery Council report. The Nursing and Midwifery Council held 5 review hearings since the first conditions of practice order were imposed in April 2018. Mrs. Gaga chose not to attend the most recent hearing on the 3rd of August, which concluded that a striking off order should be imposed. The 3-person panel explained that the nurse had been afforded a number of opportunities, but there was no evidence that her failings had been addressed by her. Steve Flanagan, Chief Executive of CSH Surrey, said Mrs. Gaga's former employer said it was always regrettable when a healthcare professional loses their registration. However, patient safety is of the highest priority for us, as it is for the NMC. While we cannot comment on the details of the specific cases involving former employees, CSH Surrey has robust measures in place to safeguard all patients and maintain the highest standards of professional care by all employees. The striking off order came into effect on Wednesday, the 9th of September. In an uncertain year for the creative sector, Epsom is bringing live music back to its town centre. The town may not be able to see full-scale concerts at theatres yet, but Go Epsom, the business improvement district, has been reintroducing live music to the marketplace. And Epsom's not the only Surrey town centre that allows live music to perform again. Guildford allows buskers if socially distanced and at appropriate volume. But Go Epsom's collaboration with Epsom Newell Arts Festival is one of the biggest county's biggest pushes to bring live music back to the county's town centres. Cam Pengley, bid manager for Epsom, believes this is an important step for making town centres feel normal again. She said, even though the COVID-19 pandemic has been an absolute tragedy on so many levels, I think the opportunity to put live music, arts and culture back into Epsom makes it a very much a destination where people can come and enjoy themselves, and that's really important. Organisers have followed government guidance around social distancing, isolating performers in a tent fitted with bunting. Performers are briefed around safety measures and are very cautious around music and decibel levels. As a result, they've been having a warm public reception from businesses and the public. Musicians are paid professional rates for their time, testament to the impact that COVID-19 has had on the arts. It is even professionals that are short of work, and Cowan said that previous performers, including saxophonists who have performed with Nina Simone and bands that have played with Booker T and the MGs. She said none of them are working. This pandemic has absolutely torn up performing arts across the country into pieces. So the quality of music organised has been absolutely outstanding. To be able to provide that lifeline to the culture sector is really important. Now, the live music takes place on Wednesday, Friday and Sundays next to the Epsom Clock Tower from 12 p.m. until 2:30 p.m. And that's a look at the stories in Surrey and Rushmore this week. This has been Brooklyn's Radio Surrey News Review with Graham Laycock. And you can hear the Surrey News Review every Friday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Brooklyn's Radio, and you can keep up to date with the Surrey Advertiser and at Surrey Live. Brooklyn's Radio.